WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a brand new year and maybe some brand new crab cakes as well. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning next week at GNA Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh. No longer in Highland Town. Andy will be out with us. We'll be giving away some scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. I have some leftover holidays as well as some Raven scratch-offs to give away next Thursday. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. We call them Wise Conversation. I'm wearing all my red from Coons, and I have my red here. It's nothing but Terps this week. I had Tom McMillan on for a long-spirited chat about NIL, and now we bring back a guy that every time I see him, much like when I saw Stephon Diggs the other night on TV, I say, he a Terp. There's Sean Merriman. We welcome him back on. Dude, I am apologetic. I'm about 7 or 8 weeks late on your Lights Out coach drive that you do every year. Usually you join me in the middle of football season, but you're on to a new endeavor in MMA. But first things first, good to have you back. How was the coach drive, man?
Thanks, man. Good talking to you again. The cold drive was great. It was my 20th year. And it was special because the amount of people that came back that was around when it originally started. So it was two things I thought. That was awesome to see them again. But two, I am really old. So, you know, those two things happened. But it was great, man. We collected, a little over 1,000 codes. We didn't go as big as we normally would, around 2,000, 2,500. But look, it's 1,000 people that went with the code this year. It was warm. And in fact, to have the people to still remember this thing and support it after 20 years was really, it was a great feeling for me, man. So it was good to get back.
How did it start? I mean, what was it like? Were you a kid who was cold? Like, just why coats and 20 years ago? Because we've done tons of stuff around here over the course of 31 years of radio, and it always begins with someone in need. There's always a story. It just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, well, I grew up there in the Prince George's County area, and, we were left homeless because we lost our home during the fire. So, me, my mom, my sister, we went to stay in shelters. We stayed in back of the cars, and I remember just this one winter. It was so cold outside. We had on two sweaters. We had socks on our hand for gloves, me and my sister. And I said, this is hard. I don't want anybody else to feel like this. And if I was ever in a position to help anyone else not feel like this, and I would. And that's how my freshman year at the University of Maryland, I created the Lights On Coat Drive to, help kids not feel the way I felt. And I felt like I had a platform at that point. And we initially started, thought I would just get 100 coats. If I got 100 coats, I was happy. That was 100 people that was going to go warm this winter. And we got over 2,000 coats. And so at that point in time, I knew that we had something special. That we had something that was much needed, especially in the DMV area. So, I just continued it on for 20 years now. And it's still going. Over 38,000 coats over the last 20 years. It's been a great ride.
Well, listen, I'm going to talk extreme fighting and MMA and the obvious inherent violence that's involved in it. But obviously with your background in sports and you were lights out and the reason for that and the way you hit people and all that. What happened on Monday night? And it's just Tuesday morning. So if you're hearing this later on, I don't know what's happening to these games or the standings. We want this young man to survive and live a long, prosperous life. But you're a football player, man. You'll always be a football player, gladiator. I mean, you had injuries, lots of injuries. I mean, what we saw on Monday night, I hope we never see it again. And I really did wonder whether there was a playbook for the NFL in that instance to hit a button that it didn't feel like that they had a whole lot of plans for what happened on Monday night.
Yeah, it's tough to see. And, prayers to the young kid Hamblin, man. He's, obviously me playing with the Buffalo Bills, they're always going to be a extended family of mine. And so my heart goes out to him and his family and everybody who had to really sit back and watch, because I think the scariest part of that situation is the uncertainty of not knowing, right? Hey, he got up and you think that he went down as a concussion, which is, don't get me wrong, it's very scary just to have a concussion. We've seen it out of multiple players, Tua and a bunch of guys who stumble after standing up. And to actually see CPR performed on someone on the field, I can't imagine being on the field as a teammate. I can't imagine that being my family that is happening to, because you can't get to him. You can't even get the information. And so we all realize that football is a dangerous game. There's no doubt about that. It's a great game. It's the greatest game, in my opinion, on earth. But it's also a dangerous game. And I think for the first time, fans seeing the reality of what can happen to the game. And it kind of put in perspective a lot of things, right? So when you have your favorite player, your favorite team, and you get these emotions about wins, losses, and obviously people say and feel things because that's their favorite team or their favorite player. Now you get a human side of what you just saw. And so maybe a lot of people perspective and how they look at the game and how they emotionally feel attached to it. When you're talking about fantasy football and things, when decimals and numbers, that someone is actually putting their life on the line. So I don't know the full story today what happened. I saw that he was breathing on his own. He's getting back to normal. But then again, I'm still praying for him. That was a very scary situation and sight to see.
And certainly for the league to stop the game, for everybody to go home. I mean, we've never seen anything like that. Sean, you got involved in something that's obviously got some inherent violence in it as well. I gravitated away from MMA. Like Johnny Rallo, we were altar boys together, Little League, played Little League football, all that, Shogun fights. I help him promote it. He's sat in the radio station studio 1,000 times here. I mean, I've known him my whole life. And trying to get it legal. I remember we went down to Annapolis trying to get it legal, seeing it on television. Now we're 2 decades into this, and many folks in the football space gravitate toward this. But this is a whole different business endeavor for you. And I want you to lay it out for me because I don't know a whole lot about it. I read a Wall Street Journal piece about a week and a half ago. You and I have some mutual friends. We usually see each other at the Super Bowl. What are you into, Sean Merriman? Tell me.
Yeah, so I have Lights Out Extreme Fighting. It's my MMA promotion I've had around for a couple of years now. We just renewed our contract and deal on Fubo TV. So if you're in MMA, you want to check us out. We have, you know, the next up and coming great fighters. They all come through, you know, Lights Out first before they go anywhere else. So, you know, we have a big fight coming up January 14th, live on Fubo at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. It'll be a 2.5 to 3 hour show, and just check us out. You know, football's they carry a bunch of great sports content in general, and we just happen to be one of the best platforms and products and programs that they have. So definitely check us out. Lights Out Extreme Fighting, January 14th on Fubo TV.
What do you love about MMA, and what got you involved? Did you box when you were a kid?
I did. So yeah. I had professional boxers, obviously being there from PG County. The DC area, that's one thing you better know how to do is that's the box in the time that I grew up. So we had a lot of professional boxers in my neighborhood and stuff like that. So I grew up naturally boxing, but I got into MMA coincidentally enough through Jay Glazer over at Fox Sports. He actually introduced me to the sport with Randy Couture. It was my first day training, and I was training with those two. And it was one of those things where I easily transitioned. Because of my football background and because of me having a bit of a boxing background growing up as well, that I just gravitated to the sport. And every year I just used it as another discipline to help me become a better football player. So it's a great sport. It's been around for a long time. It's going to be around for a very long time, and it's still growing.
Well, the growth part's the amazing part, right? Like this is my 32nd year. And I have a Fox background. Kenny Albert and I did the show together
to begin with
31 years ago, and he was doing hockey games here in Baltimore with the Skipjacks and Barry Trotz and all that stuff. So, you know, the background and boxing, I wrestled in high school. I love professional wrestling. I love when Superstar Graham bled out down at the arena back in the day in the Valiant. So, I mean, I'm not adverse to it. The violent part of it as I've gotten older has made me much more – in what we talked about with the football game on Monday night, right? Just the fact that people get hurt, it's real. And there's a part of that that has made me shy away from it. But I think publicly over the last 20 years, what's happened to boxing and what's become of MMA, where it is literally mainstream. And I don't know that when John was here 20 years ago talking about it, or when you were still playing football and training, that you thought it could be this mainstream. Certainly Dana White, investment, and all the money that's been put into this and the networks. But this, I don't even know what the big four are anymore, right? When you and I were kids, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, maybe a little soccer here, there, NASCAR, whatever it is, horse racing. But MMA has moved up the charts from something that wasn't even sanctioned to something that is still, to this point, one of the growing sports.
It is, and I'll tell you why. It was very unfamiliar to a lot of fight, communities, right? We've been watching boxing for 100 years now. And one of the things why MMA has kind of surpassed boxing in a sense is because the best fight the best. And there's so many disciplines, things you have to learn. Obviously, I grew up a little bit boxing, but I started to learn Muay Thai. I started to learn a little bit of jiu-jitsu, and it's just so many different disciplines of the sport is why it's growing. You get so many different backgrounds, whether it's guys coming from Brazil or Europe or Africa now. You have champions that are from Nigeria. And so it's become such a global sport, but it's not even as quarter as big as it's going to be here in the next 5 or 10 years because it's still opening up in multiple countries.
For you and your investment and involvement in this and being involved, FUBU, stepping out into this, it's one thing to be a fan of it. It's another thing to be financially invested. What made you get involved in this? And I guess financially to step out and say, I want to own a piece of this, because you couldn't own the NFL, right?
Well, you can't own the whole NFL, but you could possibly own a team one day, which is not off the table for me. But for me, I can't get involved in anything I'm not passionate about. Even in my playing days during the offseason, I would go and train with all these guys, Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell. I would train with all of them during the off seasons. And I just grown this love, this passion for the sport. Now on the business side of where I am now, it's really promoting and branding and marketing and getting the eyeballs. What I've been accustomed to doing for the last decade and a half, I played in the biggest sport in the country. I've been able to work within the NFL and with the Chargers and several different other organizations to understand how production works, to understand how operations works, and bringing in key people to help grow the brand and lights out. For me, it's just really assembling of the 15 plus years I have of experience and coming from the NFL background, understanding how TV works and understanding how fans, this whole thing with me, I don't know if you follow me on social media now, but I talk back and forth a lot with the fans. I'm always interactive. I love, spending time with the fans. And when you are, even when you're growing a business, the fans will tell you if they like it. They'll tell you by viewership. They'll tell you by attendance and tickets. That's the part of the business I love the most, because the fans really, at the end of the day, they drive your business.
Sean Merriman is our guest. He's always a Terp. You doing lights out? You'll do coach again next year for people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right?
21st, my 21st anniversary coming up next year.
All right, so everybody gets a chance to contribute. So if you find some coats rolling around, don't give them the goodwill and our partners here. You want to do something good with Sean, take him down there in November next year as well, because he does that each and every year. As far as locally and you being involved locally and your local, you still live around here? Or where are you right now?
I'm in Las Vegas. I have a couple of different homes, but my main residence is in Las Vegas. All my family's still back there in PG County, Washington, D.C. For I would say 80% of my family, they're all back there. So I can never not come back home. I still work with the University of Maryland a lot. I talk to Coach Loxley probably every other week.
How'd you feel about that mayonnaise? I mean, talk to me about that. I mean, that looked a little uncomfortable there for a couple minutes, Sean.
Sometimes you got to please those sponsors, man. I'm in the side of the business where you got to keep those sponsors happy. But
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea.
That's right. You don't know. It's I'm just really happy, for him for sure, but the program and where the University of Maryland is going. And, with this whole NIL thing, we've been talking about it a lot. We have the best talent. And I say we because I'm from PG County. So in that DMV area, we have the best talent, in my opinion, in the country. And if everyone was to stay home, we can go and compete with anybody in Florida, Texas, California, anywhere. We'll be able to compete for a national championship. And the NIL and this business side of things kind of took a wild twist and turn on what a lot of these guys can do. And so you want to go out and compete because you have to and make sure that, some of your top players and top recruits latch on and they get the best options possible, because you want these guys there, point blank.
Well, it's the Wild West, right? Things have changed. I had Tom McMillan on the basketball side talking about things at College Park, former congressman, and it's just it feels like this has happened quickly, and it feels like there are going to be those who adjust and those who don't adjust, and you're not going to get to write the rules anymore. And certainly for you be one of those guys gladiating on Saturdays before Sundays, and you got paid a lot of money in the league, you went out and did it for not a whole lot, you know, an education for sure, but not certainly the value. And other guys like you didn't go to the NFL, that there's now an opportunity for 17, 18, 19 year old version of you to have a pizza shop, put some money in your pocket before you get to the NFL.
Well, I've always thought that that should be the case. You know, the universities and the people around the university, everybody making a lot of money. And, you know, the players, the student athletes aren't really getting a part of it. So I've always thought that that should be a part of it. I think at some point in time, they're going to have to start putting a cap or changing the process and how it's done. Or else you're just going to have, you know, you could have a lot of, you know, younger kids being influenced to make decisions when they're not actually ready to make those decisions just yet and put themselves in the bind. And so that's the only thing, that's the only downfall of things I think that needs to change, because, you know, some of these things getting thrown around and the guys are not really able to look at the process yet and what the outcome about making these decisions. I mean, you know, at 17, 18 years old, 19, I mean, you're still trying to figure life out. You really are. So, you know, this, all these things coming at you, you have to make the best decision for your future, not just a decision what's going to make you happy at this instant. Because if you've seen the transfer portal, all these things happening, you know, some of these guys have to understand that it's not going to always work out for you. It's not. I mean, it might look good, might look shiny, might look great, but it will not always work out for you. So I think the process at some point in time will slow down or change a bit.
Sean Merriman is our guest. Promote your fights again and tell everybody where they can find them. And how often is Lights Out producing fights and fight nights?
We'll have a fight every month and a half or so, you know, back to back. And we have a ton of fighters just all over the country, really, just trying to get on these cards. January 14th, FUBO, Lights Out Extreme Fight. We're back. Check us out, 7 p.m. Pacific to 10 p.m. On the East Coast, we start at 10 p.m. So check us out, FUBO Sports, FUBO TV, Lights Out Extreme Fight, January 14th, Saturday. It's going to be a big one.
You fight out of Vegas?
Vegas. This next one we have here coming up is in Riverside, California. We'll be in Arizona, Bakersfield, and San Diego after that. We got a few dates lined up.
All right, West Coast promotion, as they say, and the Super Bowl coming out that way soon, too. So all sorts of things going on. We'll be out in Arizona in a couple weeks as well. Sean, always good to visit with you. Appreciate all you guys do locally here. And when Josh reached me and said, you want to have Merriman to talk about the MMA? I said, sure, man. Let's talk some Terps here. Even basketball. When I booked you, the Terps look great in basketball. They lose to Michigan. But I think that the basketball program, as much as you come from the football side, there's been a new infusion of oxygen for the basketball side. It's kind of exciting, as I see it.
It is, and I'm really happy for the men's basketball team. You're right. There's a newfound energy that they have. There's a new buzz, and that buzz is like back when, you know, we were playing there and some of the teams we had. So they have that type of buzz right now.
They brought him back to start the season. All right, Sean, take care of yourself. Sean Merriman, find the fights out on FUBO, Lights Out Fights. And, of course, I'm sure he'll be running around the Super Bowl in a couple weeks as well. If you see him in College Park, guy looks like Sean Merriman. Yeah, that's him. He's usually back here as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week, starting things at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh on Thursday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill. And I even have my bucket hat back. The friends at Costas gave me this back from Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.